I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
Chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. And if you're on the run, we're chasing the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode 12. We're coming to you live from what I am going to call Walker Ranch.
Thank you.
You guys probably already saw in the title, but I am here at Johnny Walker's house.
It's a whorehouse, which is why it's the ranch.
The ranch.
Yeah, we're in Nevada. Yeah. Can I say whore? I never asked you what it is.
You can say anything you want.
Okay, this wonderful.
Here's what we found early on.
Right.
This is a little back history for some of the newer listeners, but in the early episodes of the show started blowing up because I think now what the parents that listen to the show really like is they like us kind of bitching and moaning and telling it really how it is for us, talking about struggling, talking about wanting to, you know, choke the shit out of our kids kind of thing. And so the numbers started growing and we're like, wow, we could maybe make some money off of this.
Right.
But we're going to have to clean it up if we're going to get Disney or Dixie to sponsor this shit, you know? So we clean it up and we don't curse for 3 episodes and the numbers plummeted. It was laughable.
Right.
Like it went from probably, at that time, we probably had 500 to 600 people listening and it dropped to, no shitting you, like 200.
Wow. Those are the 200 people you don't want to be your fans. Yeah.
Well, that's when I realized, I'm like, this is why I didn't pay attention to any of the feedback of that. This is why people like the show, is they like getting a little visceral. Because if you think about it, your day is full of fucking Teletubbies and Barney, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, Caillou, yeah, fucking all that bullshit. So,
to me, it's two voices. It's the one in my head and
yes,
the one that I'm allowed to
say out loud. Yeah.
And then
how that's a very, you're so good at this, Johnny. It makes sense that this is the voice in your head because you put it in your earbuds.
It is, yeah.
So you guys probably know Johnny for those of you that are still getting the fucking horrible emails from Clorox that helped me out with the last comic sitting competition. Johnny was one of the comics,
yes,
who I honestly thought was the guy that was going to beat me. I don't know if that's rude or weird to say. I mean it as a compliment. Sometimes, yeah, I'm inappropriate, but... a little bit of backstory real quick is that Johnny and I met.
I've always wanted to beat Justin. Yes. Is that what you meant was inappropriate about it? Okay.
No,
sorry.
I'm saying that, well, here's the thing. I say things that I mean as a compliment because this is what I'm saying. We met, I don't even know how, it was a long time ago,
yeah,
at the Ventura, now Ventura Harbor. I think it was called Comedy Esquire then or something.
Yeah, right, right.
It's with Terry Hobogan
a strip
or something.
Club,
yeah.
Slash comedy club.
And I'd never seen him before, and I was there, and just fucking hilarious. Just really, really funny, really, really nice guy. Easy on the eyes, ladies, for those of you who want to imagine him at home.
Thanks. I'm even better on podcasts.
Yeah.
Right?
You got a sexy voice, let's be honest. Like, one of those guys who can, I think, could be put on a billboard in an underwear thing. And
oh,
I don't mind saying this in the privacy of your own backyard,
right?
Where everybody's asleep inside your house and,
mm-hmm,
it's just you and me, Big Daddy,
right
out here. There's towels right here on this lounge chair.
There are purple crayons.
We can make magic.
Right.
But any purple crayons, are there really? That's hilarious.
Yeah, there are in that
that's
purple
funny
trash can.
I love it.
Yeah.
So anyway, instantly, anybody who has toddlers, you can look at any part of your house and it can instantly be desexualized. Anything that looks remotely like, yeah, I could totally do it there. Nope, purple crayons.
Right,
that's
purple
kid friendly
crayon
now.
And a tiny purple bathing suit.
Yeah. Like just like... even look next to your bed, especially people who childproof their house. Like you're like, yeah, that looks hot. Nope, those are plastic covers over the outlets. Nothing,
yeah,
sexy about
right
that.
Right now there's literally a baby sleeping next to our bed. Not very sexy.
Maybe this is already getting inappropriate, but have you enjoyed the relations with the bassinet in the room, or are you creeped out with that?
I'm that doesn't creep me out.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Just it's very, we have a month old.
Yeah.
And it's you know, like a regular birth and all of that.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's right.
It's,
yeah,
sort of
so
like a healing process.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife's listening to this. I think, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if she's listening.
Here's the thing, and I apologize.
Her vagina's really stretched out, is what I meant to say.
I think you're digging a hole, Johnny. Just stop.
Right, okay.
He looked at the door. That's hilarious.
And I see the baby, and the baby is large for most babies, and I just, it's going to make me feel, I got a lot to live up to now. I look at the circumference of her head, and I'm like, yeah, I can't do that.
It is kind of funny to think that you could ever hurt anything. I think somebody has a joke about tearing that up. Like, there's not anything being tore up. Like, that is hilarious.
It's
I never
awful.
Thought of that.
We all think of it. It's horrific.
Well, I experienced, I think, actually, maybe not last night, but the night before last, my wife and I experienced, we were in a moment of magic, if nice. You would. Oh, I always forget that I have this. I have sexy music. Yeah, me and the lady, we're having some magical time being adults without kids. And oh, it was magic. We were both on the top of our game, you know what I mean? And just as right. we hit that moment, we're both at the same time, you hear through that monitor. And I'm telling you, Johnny, this is why it's so funny, because it couldn't have been better time.
Yeah.
Was
it mimicking you? Was it because that's what it sounds like sometimes when a baby's like, nah. It's like, wait, I think that's how I sound.
Like, mama.
It's like, wait, is that ecstasy from my wife or is that my toddler calling?
That's hilarious. It's like kids go, nyeh, 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 but how you go, oh.
Right.
Nobody's ever going to be able to hear their baby cry again. That's what we just ruined for everyone.
I had that thought last night, and I thought it was funny.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I love it. I'm a big fan already.
Good.
Oh, gosh. Well, here's the other thing. We were talking about a little bit before we turned on the microphones. I had the shittiest day that I think I could ever have. As a parent, like I think at Apex today, where I've had, and you may not know this, I know you've listened to a few episodes, but I've had days where it's like I'm sitting on the steps and I jokingly call it my Thelma and Louise moment, where I just want to get in the car and I want to leave. Mm-hmm. I've had that happen once. But today was a different kind of feeling.
Have you gotten in a car and started driving? Or
no, I haven't gotten that far.
Okay.
I've gotten to the part of where I sat on the step and I go, and this is what I thought. This is not the life I wanted. I really didn't think, and not that it's because here's the thing. It's not even looking at it from the ambition of like, oh, I don't ever want to have children. That I always wanted to have children.
Right.
I guess more what I was thinking now, being able to look back at it, is like, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
That this is more than I can handle, and I almost think I'm better if I'm not here. I think I might be making these children's lives harder.
I might do a better job by not. Yeah. Oh, man, that's funny.
And so I was like, huh. And then immediately I go, no, because every time you get on a plane to go on the road, you instantly are like, oh, I wish I was home already.
Yeah.
So that snapped me out of it. But today, it was rough for even my wife. My wife's had a rough couple days, and she's a champ. She does the 40-hour week. You know, I think she technically works 50 hours because I've done the math. Maybe I shouldn't be calculating, but where she's gone 10 hours a day and I'm solo. And so it's like, she's such a tramp. And so occasionally she'll have a rough few days. And I'm like, you know what? She's allowed to snap.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Otherwise, I don't know what she's going to do. So anyway, she goes, she was a little rough on my oldest one. This morning, he's in preschool. We're day 3. And he started in because he was a little tired. You know how sometimes they wake up and they could be the most delightful, happy, loving things in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I don't know what it is. Fucking Jupiter into the 7th house or... I don't know if a fly landed on their ear or something. It just seems like...
That sounds like a lyric from Hair. Jupiter's in the 7th house and a fly
landed on my ear.
Right,
Now get naked. this is great. This is already the first musical theater reference ever on the show. This is going to be fun.
Nice. Yeah, I'll have a few.
Well done, Johnny. Well
Thank
done.
You. You're welcome.
So anyway, because there's at least like 5 guys that do fabricating, like, what the fuck's he talking about?
Hair?
Are they chick? Talking about pubic hair?
Right.
But anyway...
I don't like pubic hair either. All right.
So he wakes up in this mood where he's just like, I don't want to go to school. He's crying like from the minute he wakes up. And you want to tell him, go the fuck back to sleep. But at the same time, you're like, we got fucking shit to do. And we got to get out the door. The youngest one had his 1-year checkup. So he was going to get shots and all that stuff. So I'm like, oh, it works out. Preschool starts at 9. Checkup's at 9. I'm going to get him in there early. Now I got this meltdown. My wife and I are trying to talk him off the ledge because he's, you know, borderline suicidal at this point. And my wife snaps. It was And now it's funny. But then it was like my wife did the, listen to me, stop it right now. And she's like literally in full like work getup and about to walk out the door. And the kid is crying because he wants her to stay. And her way to fix it is to go, shut up, listen. I might be being unfair. She did not say shut up. She said, listen to me, stop it right now. Get it together, okay? Nice. This is unacceptable, all right? And then he calms down. He's like,
I just felt like I was in Platoon.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to get your shit together, imagine, private.
Imagine being a third my size.
Yeah.
So it's like, somehow she ends up, and I'm just sitting there. He can't see me, but I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing?
But you can't say that then.
No. Yes, right, because it undermines her. And I've had arguments with her where I've kind of laid into him a little bit. And she's been like, whoa. And I go, are you fucking kidding?
Right. Like, it's like being the assistant coach. Watching the coach make a mistake. You're like, well.
I get nothing I could do.
Yeah,
not at this time. You know what I mean?
Take a knee.
That was the only thing we talked about when we got married. And we're like, we're going to have kids. I said, I have one rule. You cannot undermine me. Like, you can't correct me.
This is before you even had kids?
Yes. This is what blew my mind about it, is that because I'd seen it happen. I'd seen it happen with other people where it's like...
Are you talking about your parents?
No, I'm talking about, to be honest, I'm talking about my brother to a certain extent. My brother would, everybody provides balance and everybody has their own way. So I'm not trying to shit on my brother, but I'm just saying I saw my sister-in-law put a leash on my brother. But what she did make it work
metaphorically...
I'm sure they did it on an anniversary occasion.
I saw it in that.
I think they're in the nipple clips. I think there was. You don't know my family, Johnny. Right. But let's just say they're good for a great awkward dinner conversation among strangers. But so I know that at some Thanksgiving, my sister-in-law explained some interest in nipple clips. That I can say that. But anyway, which I'm sure she probably doesn't want me sharing on the internet with thousands of people.
You can actually find pictures of her.
Just check her Facebook. Friend her on Facebook. But anyway, so... But here's what she made it work with the leash, is that it also made him like a pit bull on a chain, in that she's like, I'll let go of this leash. And you better, because he's got it pinned up. He's got a little pinned up, but he hasn't been on a walk in forever. And by walk, I mean he hasn't gotten a blowjob. That's like classical music to the lion for my brother. But anyway, so that was my rule. We had conversations about that. She had done it a couple times. And so in this case, I'm like sitting there, and then she like looked up at me like I calmed him down. But I knew he wasn't calm. He was just scared a little bit.
Right.
And like, I don't want to piss her off more. And then I go, so I mouthed to her, what the fuck are you doing? And then it all kind of hits her of what just happened, about how she's literally about to hug him and then get up and walk out the door.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the whole reason why he's upset.
Mommy needs a smile before I leave.
Yeah.
You puss maggot.
Yeah.
Your smile gets me through the day.
So she gets up and leaves. It starts up all over again as soon as she leaves. She was nice enough. She sent me a text message. She goes, I'm sorry, dear. I thought I was helping, and I realized I did fuck it up. And I was like, no big deal. But
you guys are good communicators.
Well, we've learned. We've been together for, oh, my God. Our 11th wedding anniversary is coming up. So that means 16 years we've been together.
Awesome.
Now.
Awesome.
So it's taken us. Now, within the last 3 years, we were good, and now it's like it feels like, okay, we're really. I'd like to be that couple that when you go invite over for game night, like says one word and plays Pictionary and pisses everybody off.
Right, right.
That's my objective with my own marriage. Exactly. My wife not too happy about this objective. she wants to. She's more of a dude where she's like, you know, like I've said on the show. She said to me, and we were having a fight, and she's like, "Can't we just have sex and make up already?
Right? Can you man up, deal with your shit, like a exactly. nut in me?" Yeah,
nut in me.
Right, that's my
it's
wife
like,
says.
Yeah, you
right. Just nut in me. Sounds like a cereal.
Honey bunches of oats.
No, but that's great. Like you guys do talk and share your feelings. Like,
yes,
I grew up in a family that was just. Totally shut down.
Well, so did she, and that's what makes it hard, I think, is that she's not used to that, and that's what forces me into being a chick, in that I'm always like, I'm talking.
What's wrong?
Like, like, I don't know if you've heard of it, Loftus has this great joke about the state of the relationship address that his wife will go into.
That's hilarious.
I've had that, like, me and my wife are laughing, only instead of it being her, it's me. Like, I've done that, like, okay, this is what we need to work on right now. You know, that kind of bullshit.
That's excellent.
But yeah, and so... So anyway, so that's cool. Yeah, we are good at talking. And so I get him to the school. I get him calmed down. And then he has this thing and where he gets freaked out if I... This sounds horrible to say, but he gets freaked out when I leave him in the car. And I don't mean leave him in the car while I go in and go grocery shopping.
It's like been 100 degrees. This is record heat waves.
I crack the window, Johnny, first of all, before you get on the bandwagon.
Right.
All right? I crack the window. I put a little bowl of water. Okay. Sure, he's still 5-point harnessed into his car seat.
Right.
But if he needs a drink, he'll find a fucking way.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah.
That kid sawed off his arm to save his life. All right? I'm trying to teach him some character.
Right.
No, but just to go to the, like, sometimes to go to the ATM, and I go, I'm going to that ATM right there. And it's just because
it takes way too long to get the 5-point harness issue. Yeah.
Yes. And there's two of them and one of me. And I can't work the machine and carry
like
my 25 pound fat ass winter.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's horrible.
So I just go, Dad's going right there. And so this van parked in between the ATM, and I didn't notice it. So I come back to, and I go, what happened? What? I couldn't see you. And this is where I know that I'm rude, but I don't know. I hope somebody else can relate to this, because it's like, I look at things a lot through the mind of a 33-year-old. So it's like, what makes you think I'm going to leave you? Like, how many times do I have to fucking hug and kiss you and tell you you literally are the most important thing in my world to get you to understand I'm never going to fucking leave?
No, if they can't see you, you literally disappear.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a book that Eliza has, and a guy, it's just the way it's framed up. His arm isn't in the picture. He's like, only one arm. Only one arm. It's like, he has another arm. No, he doesn't. I'm like, it's not there. I'm like, it is there. It's in it. It's such a, like... Like, that's crazy to think that he would only have one now. Yeah. But like, I would disappear into thin air at the ATM.
Yeah. And that's where I would leave you, in a van, when you have a perfectly good apartment. Like, and that's what, this is what's, luckily haven't gotten this point of exhaustion and desperation where I'm like, son, if I'm going, like, break down how it would really happen, like a Bond villain or something. Like, if I'm going to leave you, I'm going to leave you at the apartment 10 minutes before your mom gets off from work, because I don't want to see her. Right. But at the same time, I got to know you're safe, so I'm not doing anything illegal.
Yeah. Illegal? What's that? Why?
Well, you see, son. Yeah. But I have said that. I go, son, I can't leave you. I go, not only do I not want to, because I love you and your brother so damn much, more than anything in this world. I love you guys, so I will never leave you. But it's illegal. I've said that to him. I will go to jail if I leave.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot keeping me here. Okay?
Right.
Oh, man. So he loses. I said, I have this thing where I tell him, I get him into the car. I realize that Jack is going to the doctor and that there's a form the preschool needs the pediatrician to fill out.
Yeah.
So now I realize that I need that form, and I just got him strapped in. And so I have this lazy parent moment where I turn around and I go, listen, Dad's got to go back up to the apartment. Okay. I'm going to grab a form and I'm going to turn around. Now shoot straight with me. Are you going to be cool, or do you need to come with me? And he looks at me, he's like, no, I'll be fine. And I go, really? You sure? I said, because I'm literally going to run as fast as I can. It's going to be less than a minute that I'm gone. I go, and I'm going to have music playing for you in the car. Like, you know, everything was good. And he's like, great. So I go, wow, okay, good. Maybe he's getting over this fear. I've made him understand. I love him. So I run up there. Right. I get the stuff. I come back. And literally, as I get to the van, he's screaming, and I go,
oh, my God.
So then it compounds, because I feel guilty and horrible and like a shitty parent, but at the same time, I have this fight in my head. They're like, but you fucking said, man.
Yeah, he said
you
that.
Said,
exactly.
Like, this can't be all on me. And I know that I'm supposed to be the one who's hyper aware of everything. Like, it's weird. I feel like sometimes you have to be like God with your children. Like, you have to be aware of everything.
Omnipresent.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, I just open the door, and I go, what is wrong? Right. Are you kidding? I said,
now
are you
yelling at me? Yeah.
It was like, close. Stop it. I wasn't quite yelling. I was whining because I was getting upset that I'm like, what? Can I do anything right today? Like, that's really what I was thinking. And he's just, but Jack started to cry. And I look at my one-year-old, and I swear to you, Johnny, it's very funny now. In the moment, it made me angry. I'm just looking at him, and he's like, no, I wasn't. Like, he just stared at me. Like, no redness in the eyes.
Right, right.
Like,
he's the one who freaks out.
Which makes it even worse. I'm like, you're freaking out, and you're fucking lying about
it. I was like, he can't talk. I can lie all I want about this guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the greatest. He's going to be speaking for him.
So then we go, and he's like, I don't want to go to school. And I'm playing music to distract him. I'm trying to be like, it'll be fun.
What kind of music do you play to distract?
He has a playlist because, again, terrorists should hate us.
Right.
That my son has his his own dedicated. That's another thing. I would really like to take my son to some Al Qaeda camp and just see him. See how
good monkey bar. They have good children's exercise stuff there. Apparently, it's like in a monkey bar.
Is a junior high. Exactly. Maybe you like it. No, I just want to. At some point, I wish that we could all have this where you could send your kids. And Bill actually wrote a stand-up bit kind of about this where it's like, I wish you could take your kids somewhere where they could learn how good they have it. That's what's hard about the being us is that, like, I'm sure you've had this too, where you think back at your parents and what they did with you, good or bad, and you just feel like you've improved upon it, and they've got it so great and so nice and so easy. So any moment where they don't seem to appreciate everything about them, you just want to be like, no, you don't fucking know.
I have no idea.
Like, for me, my dad literally used to punch me in the head. Like, he would punch me in the head. And I don't look at that as abuse. I never once, even when I was a kid.
There's the reset button.
I feel like we're close enough in age where it's like you go to school and that was literally drilled into your head. If somebody's hitting you at home, you tell us, you call the police.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, well, he hits me, but he doesn't like hit me. And like, I'm right. Like, I'm an abused wife.
He loves me. He says that afterward.
So I get him to school and he's fine on the way there. Oh, to answer your question too, on his playlist, we got the soundtrack for Rio. We got Strange Things from Toy Story.
Okay.
You Got a Friend. We got Life is a Highway and Get Real Life Gone, I think, on Cars, the Cars soundtrack. And then he's a fan of AC/DC because of Iron Man. So we got some Shoot to Thrill because that's in the beginning of Iron Man 2.
Right, right.
He calls it the Iron Man song. And then what else do we have on there? Back in Black.
It's
also
so funny.
On
it's
there.
All like sexual entendres, you know? AC/DC, it can't get more like, it's like...
Oh, and it's great to hear your kids sing Highway to Hell.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you, there's nothing better than hearing that little toddler.
That's awesome.
Highway to Hell. Like, so anyway, and
that
I never
should keep him calm. AC/DC should keep people calm. Right,
it's soothing.
Yeah, I think it's what we play to prisoners in Guantanamo. It's like it's like just hang out in the car with some AC/DC. Some death metal. It'll be very soothing.
I see, Johnny. I appreciate you getting how good I am at this. So anyway, he goes. So we're listening there, and then what else? Oh, there's Mr. Mom. He likes Lone Star's Mr. Mom. He calls that cowboy music. And then his new favorite because of his mom, which I don't think is a very bad song, but I think it's laughable, is Payphone by Adam Levine
that
or
dude
Maroon
lives,
5.
Like, literally up the street.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really,
at the grocery store.
It's pretty freaking adorable because my son goes, I want to listen to Adam. And I was like, I wish I could get this on tape because there's a part of me that thinks on some level in between banging his Brazilian supermodel of a lady friend.
Yeah.
That he would be like, that's cute. That kid really likes what I do.
Yeah, but literally at that supermarket down the street. If you
I can do that.
If
I hang out there long
enough, you will be able to hand him that CD.
That's funny. So anyway, he goes... So we're listening to that, and then we get in there, and he's calm. He's singing with his song. So I'm like, okay, oh, I found a way through your head. I fucking Nazi mind gamed you out of this.
Payphone. Yeah.
Well, that's funny too because when I first bought it,
describe a payphone to a kid who's never, you know, you're not going to grow up in a world with a payphone. So sorry.
It just shows how dumb they are at that age, really. I mean, you and I were even talking about that. It's funny that you can have these like weird, what seem like contextually adult or tone. Seem like adult conversations, like but then they instantly bring up something very childish, like I want to dig in this dirt some more. So can we stay a little longer? Is that cool?
Right.
Like that kind
of
thing.
Can I pick my nose?
Yeah,
that's what my daughter.
I just gotta go pick my nose.
Yeah, are we in public? That's our rule for her. She just knows public is a place where you.
I love you.
Cannot pick your nose.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I don't have that rule. I told him. I said, don't do it at school because kids will make fun of you. But dude, if you got some, I've been there. You know what I mean? Like I tried to write a joke about it, but nobody's on board with me. Where I was like, why? I go, why do I have to teach him these things that don't even make sense to me? I'm like, what? You say don't pick your nose. Wait till you're in a car and in your mid 30s when that's when nobody really cares.
Yeah.
Like you know, like. So anyway. So we get to the school. As soon as he sees us pull up to the school, he starts it again. But I don't want to go to school. And I try to calm him down and wipe his eyes and all this stuff. And then he goes, I go, dude, you got to go to school, though. Why don't you want to go to school?
And he's been really good the last couple
he's
days, right?
Wanted
and
to
he's
go.
Really given it a shot.
Yes. Yeah. And the only thing that ruined it this last Friday was his mom. His mom came to drop him off. And they get, understandably so, they get weird. I don't know if it's the same. You have you have two daughters?
Two daughters.
You have two daughters, and one's only a month old, so it's hard to get a vibe for that. Clearly pretty attached to mom, I would imagine.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know if Eliza's the same way, that it's like, they my boys are both attached to their mom a lot. And my wife was like, when she found out that she was having a second boy, part of the part that bummed her out a little bit was like she was going to be outnumbered. I'm like, no, I'm the permanent asshole now forever. Yeah. There's no daddy's little girl for me. Not that I thought I could handle that, but I'm saying like, no matter what I do, I'm doing something mean to mom. Like, you know what I mean?
No, I think it's the same thing with all moms
kids?
And dad. Yeah, there's some basic biological thing, you know, with gender. Like, as much as many dinners as I make or as many times as I clean or, like, wipe their ass. Not that that's a woman's job, but if I do that.
But no, in a caveman world, it would have been. Yeah, I know. I see what you're saying.
They will never appreciate me as much as their mother.
No.
And she, but the other thing is, I think she loves them more than I do.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like, I love them so much. I love them more than anything I can think of, but I think she loves them more than I do.
Yeah. Well, she's, and I think you're right. That's a solid point, is that I do think that they, that moms almost, it's like a weird telekinetic like thing.
Yeah,
where they're
thinking, weird, it's like a Total Recall. Yeah. Like there's some weird thing in her that is able to connect some like strange key. I don't know what it is.
But we can't wrap our minds around
it. It's hidden in the folds of her vagina. I have no idea.
Which is growing tighter as the weeks go by, should mention, in case she is listening.
Right. Oh, we shouldn't say those things.
I'm so sorry.
She's so close. I'm looking around.
So great. I don't know your wife, but in my head,
she's very cool. She's a lot funnier than I am.
I think that's what most comedians' wives are.
Yeah,
but it's funny because you said that she's like a lawyer, so it's funny. And then your daughter. I met Johnny's daughter right before we started the show, and she was so sweet and so adorable and so cute, so articulate. You know what I mean? So it's just when you get the idea of like your wife is a lawyer and your daughter's a sweet, smart, articulate person. You know what I mean?
Right.
You kind of get the feeling of like flashcards at 1.5. I'm sure that's not what happened. Maybe it is.
No,
I don't
literally
care.
Is. Though.
That's great. That's great. And so that's what I think is that when you start talking about your wife, like, there's literally going to be a few flashcards for you,
right,
Mr. Walker.
Right, exactly. We've already gone through those flashcards. I obviously didn't learn very well.
I heard the show, Johnny. Let me, I got some cards together.
It's like Ghostbusters, you know, where I'm attached to like an electrical impulse and I'll guess the wrong card and I'll just get a little zap. It's attached to my balls.
Damn it, that was a funny scene. Oh my God, that was a funny scene. My hot chick always got, you're right.
Yeah.
That's so funny. It's so simple. So anyway, I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted. So we get him to school, and then we go in there, and then there's this new teacher who, I don't like it when you're the new, I don't know if anybody else has experienced this, but when you're the new parent at the preschool, the teachers tend to look at you like you're a pedophile who snuck in, by the way, with two children by my side.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, you get these weird, disgusting looks like, can I help you?
Right, exactly.
No, I'm just going to pick a kid, take him to my minivan.
Yeah, well, we usually don't help. You're just like wearing a hat, like unshaven and a t-shirt. Like being a dad,
STP.
STP. Yeah, dude. An oil shirt. It's like you were
spitting chaw on the playground.
What's the problem? It's like my van isn't white enough.
I'm so glad you're here because I never would have thought of that. Because sometimes I do forget that in Los Angeles. But I just because to me, I see myself like it's funny. I kind of see myself to a degree of how you look, like very nice, clean. I'm not as handsome as you are. Like,
stop
but,
with that. Okay,
I'm gonna flirt all night, buddy. I'm gonna flirt all night. It's not gonna stop. But that, you know, but I didn't think of the unshavenness.
No, but yeah, in LA, like you can really dress down and be accepted.
Yeah.
You know, like great writers, you know, look like this. But
millionaires walk around looking like bums here.
Yeah, but the bums also look like bums too.
Yes.
They're like the best looking bums in the world.
Exactly.
So they blend right
in. So tan, so nice. They're
so
lucky.
No idea if they're actually crazy or that's why it's hard to tell a pedophile around you, is what I'm saying.
But I do think it's funny, like so this chick gives me a look and then she goes, "Is this his first day?" And in my mind, I hadn't seen her before. I'm like, really? I should be looking at you. You're the chick that I haven't seen here. I've been here for 3 days now, and you've got, like, Peter Piker, you know, with your kids. You're, like, following them out of there, you know? And so she had, like, three kids behind her, and she goes, "Is this his first day?" And I go, "Yeah, it's his first. Well, it's his third." I go, "But we're having a rough go." And she, like, pulls a Kleenex out of her pocket, which I didn't like. Like, if there was a part of me that's
keeps
like
a Kleenex in her pocket.
Well, a preschool teacher, I guess, but it's like I want to know that there's a box in there, like a utility belt is what she needs. She needs like one of those cell phone clip-on things because I don't like to think that that's your tissue you're rubbing on my kid's face. And so, which by the way, he already got sick. Like after 2 days at preschool, anybody who has a kid in school knows it's like every three fucking days they come home sick. But
yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's not fun. So anyway, she wipes his nose. She's great, though. And then Miss Mona, though, his teacher, is just
puts the Kleenex back into her pocket, wipes another kid's nose with that same Kleenex.
And that is how contagion happens.
Yes.
But so anyway, so Miss Mona's great. She talks him down off the ledge, and then we leave and all this stuff. And but I go home from that, and then like at the building I manage, we're in the middle of flipping this apartment. I'm dealing with the owner. So it's like, this is supposed to also, the bonus of this is my kid gets a little education,
yeah.
Gets to socialize, right? Gets to play outdoors. That's also during nap time for the other one. I'm supposed to, you know, be able to have some me time, you know what I mean?
Right.
Do whatever I want to do. And then, so it's like all this stuff is going on. My wife is, you know, having a fucking day and a half. And so that's what I was thinking about. I'm like, why am I still talking about this? Is because I still, even though I should probably do this off mic, but then I leave 2 hours early to come to Johnny's house today.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Why are you sorry?
You're no, because nice I feel like I'm imposing on
no,
on
you.
No,
you're not.
Okay.
It was the exact opposite. Right. This is like, you're the first person that I've met. Bill's kind of like this too, but you're the first person I met that is like me in that sense where even when you know, I feel like you have to know on some level that you're not wrong, but you apologize. Like, you didn't do anything wrong. You said in an email, 8:30. Does that work? Like, after I said, well, I don't know how long it would take me with traffic, which, by the way, you live 15 minutes from
here.
Yeah,
we're literally like right over the hill. Yeah.
I was like, you must have been listening, like seeing my message going, what is he fucking talking about? And I'm just,
is there a savings of time that, you know, the clock had to turn forward?
How long could he sit in traffic? It's going the other way, which is hilarious too. So anyway, I don't know why I had it in my head that I was, as soon as my wife came home, I had to get on the road. So I get on the road and then I plug it in.
It's that thing you're talking about in the beginning, like, can I escape now?
Maybe. I think, yeah, there might be a level of that.
When we have the window to escape, we fly, you know?
Yes. Well, and then it's like, as I'm leaving the house, my wife is great about letting me go out and let me do this and all this stuff. But as I'm leaving the house, we get a call from the owner who just wants to pop by to take a look at this open apartment and then also wants to look through our fucking house for whatever reason. That's a whole other thing I can't go into on this show. But anyway, so I feel bad that I'm like doing that. So then that's why when I called you, when I sent you that text, and you, it was so great. This is why I want to bring it up because it's really funny because Johnny's such a nice guy. You go, I said, hey, I'm on my way because I said I would let you know when I'm on my way. And you're like, oh, are you joining us for dinner?
Yeah, no, literally. I think it was like 6:30. I'm making some sausage, macaroni. You know.
And I felt like such an asshole. I go, oh, no.
Honestly, I love it. That's totally, yeah, that would have come out as like a really passive-aggressive thing.
No,
right
it wasn't.
Back.
Because I know you. I don't know you.
But I literally did, like, there was a
I've
was
been that.
Place
I've been
at
you.
The table.
Yeah, I've been to you where it's like, where you probably were like, oh, well, that's weird, but hey, come on, we got enough. Like,
right, it's sort of odd, but okay. You can do this.
And this is why I'm glad that I at least had interactions with you. You know what I mean? Because
right.
I was like, I go, oh, my God, this guy's being so nice. And I was like, no, I ate. And then I started thinking, wait. And I'm texting, you know, while I'm thinking, I'm like, hey. And I realized I didn't say thanks. No, I just said, no, I ate. And then I'm like.
No, and then at this point, this needs to turn into a phone call.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
well, or then, else it's dangerous.
That was another thing where it's like, you called me. And I'm like, God, yeah, that's right. We should be talking. This is so much faster. Why do people text?
Oh, I love texting.
I do, too.
I don't have to. Talk to
yes.
someone. Yeah.
But then there are moments where you kind of need to do it, like what you did. You call
right,
me
right.
and you're like, well, and this is my favorite. You said, I don't know. Maybe it was, I mean, I thought I said 8:30. And I'm already like, no, you did. You did, bro. It's not on you. It's all on me. I'm an asshole because I'm in this fucking clusterfuck of screaming.
Yeah.
And the other night I had this.
But then wait, you had to take your 1-year-old to get a shot too.
Yes,
right?
That was yes. Thank
that,
you.
That hurts me when I. Oh God.
To see him happy and kind of borderline on a nap, and then it was this weird
and
thing.
1-year-olds
like,
are so great. I
yeah.
keep a picture of my daughter when she was one, just because it's there's such that gleam in their
yes.
eyes. There's, it's so innocent and
yes.
so beautiful and like, and then they stab them. They fucking stab them. And it's just like, I'm taking you to get fucking stabbed.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
This
and you're not going to realize it the first
yeah,
time. Like,
yeah.
they sit there. It's like an awful movie.
Yeah.
Where someone gets shot and they're like, what happened? And they're like, don't know what I think I feel. And then they get shot again. They're like, wait.
What,
no,
what the?
No. Something. Daddy? Yeah. And
well,
you're just, oh,
and
you,
your job, too. I feel like I should not be in the room. Like, I feel like they should
yeah.
have another heavyset Filipino chick come in and hold my kid down with some kind of Tagalog karate or something.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because I'm like, what is my copay going for? Honestly.
Right.
Like,
does your doctor give your kid shots?
No.
Yeah, mine always gets the fuck
yeah.
out. And then,
it's the poor chick who's the an assistant.
Yeah, that's all she does.
All shitty jobs.
What a horrible job. All she does is give shots to these poor little kids.
And Jack was great because she did the thing where she puts the tourniquet on to find his vein. I thought with Jacob they took it out of his leg, but I guess they didn't.
Yeah,
I was
they
wrong.
Always stabbed
for the legs, yeah. Vaccinations, but they had to draw blood at one. So they had to go for the arm, I guess, to take blood out of a vein, and she couldn't find it in one side. And she
do you find a vein on a 1-year-old?
Right. There's so much fat in there, too.
Yeah, it's just like it's a...
It gets worse, Johnny. She goes in there, and she's like, she tourniquets his arm and has me hold him down, and he... Mike, this is what
he's
made
like,
me...
it's a good thing I've been doing push-ups. Yeah, it's like, exactly. 1-year-olds don't have veins. I really... It's so horrible.
He's looking at her, like, right into her eyes. Yeah. Like,
had he already had a shot yet?
No.
Or is this, oh,
well,
Jesus.
No, he's had shots, yes,
but not today.
But he, you know how in 3 months, like they're kind of like dogs.
Over, they'll forget.
They don't even know. They don't even know. They don't remember. But like, I feel like at about 1 to 1.5, they start to remember. Oh, this doctor's office means shots.
Right.
That's what my oldest did. So anyway, like a dog going to the vet. Oh no, this ain't good. Like I smell bad. I smell real bad in here, bro. We got to get out of here. Why do you keep leading me in here? So anyway. He looks at her though. He looks at her in the eyes and just quiet. Like it almost felt like he knew the exact right reaction to make her feel like shit on that day. Like he's just stone cold staring up at her. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. She just kept saying to this. He's just staring at her. She goes, you're being so good, and I'm so sorry I have to do this to you.
I wonder if executioners were like this, you know, back in the day.
He's so polite.
This is just my job. Oh geez.
So they so then she finally gets in there and for the vein, and then because there's so much blubber around his arms and stuff, like I get to see her like I would imagine you would poke and then pull it out, and maybe she knows that's less pain, but she was like sliding it, like you're turning like a combination, and you're seeing this needle like move, and he's like, he's not flinching in more pain, but he's just tense, and your job is to pin him down. And I'm just like, and I'm trying to go, it's okay, buddy, but it's not okay. Like, she can't find a vein.
And I'm like, she's just like, wait, it's in his, the needle is in his arm, and
she's moving around. I guess through, because I was trying to, here's what I don't understand about physiology.
Sounds like she's scoping, like a liposuction or something like that.
Like, why is it that I can slide an index card across my finger and it bleeds like a sieve, or if I get a splinter, yet she's got a freaking 3/4-inch needle buried in my son's arm. There's no blood coming out of it.
Because
I thought, oh, she doesn't have the valve turned on. She must know what it looks like or something. And then all of a sudden she goes, boop, and then blood starts coming out. She goes, there it is. And I'm like, why can't we just poke you in the shoulder? Like, why does it have to?
Or why don't you just like keep him in the waiting room, like have a table with like a sharp edge. Eventually a 1-year-old is going to start bleeding. Like, they make sure that happens. I know this 1-year-old, the kid, like, he ran straight into a brick wall. It was a new place. He didn't know it. He ran right into the wall, just blood gushing. Like, just put them in a room, in a new room with some pointy things.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Yeah, so he got his shots. That was insanely horrible.
Your kids at school, then
crying.
Others get
then
stuck.
Then they
cry,
yeah. Oh. And then my wife is dealing with both of them throwing a fit as I'm walking out the door. That's why I told you. I'm like, no, it's better if I go back.
Right.
So I had to go back. I got to, you know, hang out with my wife, and we chilled for a little bit. But then I got frustrated with my son.
What time do your kids go to sleep?
8:30. So they literally blew out.
Did they both go to sleep at the same time?
Now they are, because that was part of the thing, is that my wife was foolishly, we're talking about painting our apartment, and there's a dining room fixture we want to replace. And so my wife is in charge of bedtime routine by her choosing. This is not me saying, I need to fucking tap out, although I appreciate it, is that that's kind of my checkout time, and unfairly, and I learned that lesson too, but...
That's not unfair. You're with them all day, right?
Yes, I am. But it is unfair in that I think I kind of got the vibe that she wanted to focus on something else, and I kind of was like, yeah, but so do I. You know what I mean? You know how I feel like sometimes you have this you really know what's going on within the relationship, but you don't, you kind of play dumb. I don't know.
I know exactly what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like even though you're aware. So I was kind of doing that to a certain extent. Not, I've done it really bad before, but not this time. I was like, oh, she's got a plan. And I didn't know what she was doing. She just looked focused, and she's got this really, really good idea of a podcast that she wants to do, because she's way into real estate and she wants to help people be first time home buyers and not make. So it's like, I thought she was working on that, and I knew that she'd had a flow. You can't interrupt it. You know, if you get an idea, you got to get it all out into the computer and stuff. So I thought that's what she was doing. I later on found out she was just looking for fucking dining room light fixtures, which is completely irrelevant in our life.
But you know, when you are on a roll, you know, looking at light fixtures,
can't interrupt that flow.
No, not at all.
Fucking HomeDepot.com is going to close down any day. So anyway, so she finally he doesn't get into bed until like 9:45. We go to bed at like 10:15. He's still up. So then the next day,
no in between time.
Yes, and then he wakes up and he's like a fucking shithead because he didn't get any sleep. And so I announced right before.
Yeah, any sleep for a kid is like, I need that 12 hours.
Right.
You know? It's like, oh,
can you imagine?
Like, Amanda the other day was like, oh, she only got 9 hours of sleep. I was like, oh man, that sucks.
Oh, so poor fucking her.
It's like only nine. Oh, that poor thing. Is she going to do?
How many parents have had the reaction of, no, I don't want to take a nap, to go, you know how much I would love to take a nap?
Yeah. Right?
You know how much daddy would love it? Mm-hmm. I would sleep right. So hard right now.
I would sleep so hard.
Yeah.
I can't. It must be. You must. Well, the only thing I think, because you and I are kind of in the same boat in that. My oldest will sleep through the night pretty good, but my youngest son will still wake up needing a pacifier type situation. Mm-hmm. So we're not sleeping all night yet. But your world, you know, up every 2 hours for feeding and all that stuff.
We're literally reading 7 baby books, or we have 7 baby books for sleeping. It's like just sleeping books.
Yeah, there's
no way you can read a book.
No,
you know.
No, well, when we did, sleeping is such a weird. I don't understand this. I don't understand. Because I read Baby Wise. We were big fans of that one. I think I started to read Happy, Healthy Sleeping Habits
There's
a
Sleep Easy Solution.
Yeah.
There's so many.
And here's what I thought. When I realized that there are 80,000 books on sleeping, each with their own different perspective, I kind of started to think, I'm like, I think this is something that everybody desperately wants to fix, but nobody has a real, genuine answer. And what happens is some of us have kids that either, or some parent figures out a magical combination for their kid. I'm not trying to take anything away from everybody. Or maybe your kid just fucking likes to sleep. And then they're like, yeah, it works. I figured it out. And then everybody else is just like, well, fuck you. Like,
yeah. It's basically like, I can make money writing a book about this is the way to get kids to sleep. And people will buy it because
it's like
they
a diet
haven't
book.
Slept. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. They're like, this is how you're not going to die. This is the book. It's like all you want is some good information.
I would honestly let a goat bleed out in my living room if it meant that for
That's
my kid's entire life.
That's the kosher sleep easy solution. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
it's really, you have to bleed the animal. You have to use a knife.
Have a rabbi come
by. Yeah, a rabbi comes by. And they cut the goat, and then you dip it on your infant's tongue. It's like, what was that? The Omen? Was that the beginning of that movie? Oh my God, it's so awful.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I feel like this is flying by. It is. Wow. I'm sorry. We haven't spent any time talking about you. I've been doing nothing but bitching and moaning.
No,
this
is great. I like.
I
this.
Hope you're having fun.
I am.
Good.
Yeah, enjoying a beer, so, sitting in the backyard.
All right. Having an adult conversation.
Seriously.
Do you have friends that also have kids that are similar age to Eliza or no?
I do. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'm also on a sleep deficit, so my brain isn't as quick as normal. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I have some friends though. They're only have one child, so. This is new with this two-child thing. I understand why in China they're like, just one child.
Just one.
It's like, oh, that's so awful. I used to think that, oh, those Chinese are like, you know, how dare they tell us to only have one kid? They're like, please, I wish our government told me to only have one child. This sucks.
Isn't it
five times as harder.
I know. Yeah. Isn't it so insane how much different, like, and it's so funny because you... Like, obviously, you love both your daughters. Like, that's a given, right?
Yeah, but not as much as my wife, but I love them a lot.
So, and that's what it really does.
Right.
Wait, hold on. I misunderstood your joke in that. Because here's what I ran into. When we had Jack, my second son, is that, and I've talked about it on the show, it's well documented, that I was like, I miss just being able to touch my wife. Not even sexually. I mean, literally to hug her and to kiss her and be reminded of why I got into this whole thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to a certain extent, being able to, like, that connection between the husband and the wife is really the whole crux of the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, two kids can almost completely eradicate that. Mm-hmm. That's what it did for me. I hope you don't go through the same thing.
Not yet. Right now, we both get so tired, and we have those moments a lot where we both look at each other and we're like, yes, we are feeling the exact same thing.
Yeah.
there's nothing else that you can be feeling.
Well, yeah, a month in, there's a little bit of like a survival. Like it's, yeah. You know what I mean? Like
it's
you're
like
just
two people on that lifeboat and those sharks keep, you know, coming at you.
And I, for me, and I hope, again, this is why when you said all this and I said as we're walking, I go, you know what, Johnny, after today, I don't think I'm the right person to be talking to you. I might ruin your whole daughter's first year.
Right.
Because for me, it was that survival feeling was still going at like 8 months in, and I'm like, this is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
I need to not have a partnership. Like, it felt very business, very like this is a job that we were doing together, and no matter how many times you go out on a date night, that'll help, but at the same time, it's like, then there's also an aspect, I don't know if you, do you have family near here or no?
My in-laws are near here.
Okay.
But I do get, like, even when I go out on if we go out on a date or something like that, then it's like having PTSD because I'm always looking over my shoulder.
Yes.
Like,
what's going on? Yeah. Do you hear the phantom cries?
Yeah,
I hear that
all
too.
The time.
Somebody
There's
wrote
so
it on
many
the Facebook
other things
page.
In the same frequency as the cry. Like they're coyotes around here. They sound just like babies. It's really eerie. Maybe we'll get some later, but
that'd be awesome.
That's really freaky.
Yeah. Here's the thing that disappoints me is when they're both taking a nap and I'm supposed to be like enjoying a movie or something like that.
Right.
I constantly be like, wait, did the monitor just go off? Is that the monitor? And then I got to rewind movie.
Yeah, no, they're the wolves or the phone in the movie, you know, it's like something. Yeah.
I heard it today in a techno song on a television show where I was like, wait, is that my son? Why is he crying in a rhythm?
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
That's some kind of trombone and some goofy thing.
Yeah. And it sparks that panic, like action reflex.
So tell me a little bit, because a lot of people, you know, we don't have many dads on the show that have daughters.
Okay.
You know, so I try to, if we can, to have as many as possible. What is it like raising a daughter? Now she's 2.5.
It's hard to tell. She's 2.5. She's very silly and funny. The thing is, I had to learn about what women have to go through.
Mm.
Like I try to do a lot for her, but I still can't make her hair look good.
Yes.
And it's my job to like make her hair look good. Yeah. And like when her mom does it, when
it's immaculate.
Grandmother,
it doesn't
beautiful.
Make any difference for boys, except for boys are allowed to have messy hair.
Yeah, exactly.
She looks like a wild thing.
She looks like white trash when I take her out. It's like we go to the playground. She's got, you know, like bows hanging off of her head.
That is a double-edged sword for sexism. Like, that's true.
Yeah. I just can't. I try really hard, which is the worst part. Like I try very hard to make that hair look good.
Do you? You should get one of those life-size dolls or whatever that you could practice doing French braids on.
How creepy is that? I'm just practicing by myself.
Dude, this is going to be less creepy. We take it to a preschool and just sit in the corner.
Right.
When people come up and say, do you need help? No, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Just doing my daughter's hair.
Exactly.
Real quick.
Yeah, I call this plastic doll my daughter. No, it's funny though, like being the only guy. Today, she was walking around in my underwear and she touched my penis and she goes, is that your bottom? I was like, it's not my bottom. And then I was like, well, I could tell her it's like a hemorrhoid that's like, you know, coming. But I was like, no, it's my penis. Like, I don't know how many times I have to tell her that. I came out of the shower once. I was drying myself off. She goes, you washing your vagina? I was like, no. Although that's something someone in junior high would say. And then I said, it's a penis. She goes, it's your penis. I was like, you're brilliant. You know, like, it doesn't get better than that.
Do you have an urge to make her make it seem like something scary, almost like a boogeyman?
Don't want her telling anyone that my daddy scares me with his penis.
That's a good point.
The absolute
You have more foresight than I
do. I just sort of pretend like it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's not, you know.
Penises are insignificant.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with a vagina. She hasn't really discovered it yet.
Yeah.
You know, thank God.
Yeah.
But she's going to. I know that kids like play with themselves and stuff.
Yeah. It's funny. Like
it'll be like nose picking. I'm like, you can only do it in the car and at home. Like, just don't do it in public. That's pretty much what I do.
I touch my vagina like my nose, Daddy.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Pretty much the same thing. Picking your nose and touching your vagina.
Daddy, you pick your nose in the car. Do you touch your butt in the car?
Well, so, you know, that's a good point. We can all do that. In the car.
On long road trips. Long road trips.
Right. Anything over 3 hours.
As long as there isn't a trucker next to you
right, exactly.
on the opposite side of the car.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. You know?
That's really the difference between public and private. We're trying to teach her that difference where you can pick your nose or your vagina.
Yeah, I've had that thing too where only I had a weird reaction. And I don't think it's just because it was a son, but I was getting out of the shower, but I had underwear on. And my son goes, is that your penis though? But he poked him. I'm like, hey, whoa.
Yeah, right.
Like that was what
I said. I go, hey, whoa, you don't just go poking some dude in his penis. Right. Like, that's not how it works. I go, do you want me to poke you in your penis?
Right.
And
like,
he's like, no.
Oh, really?
You know, he said,
if
no.
I were a kid, I'd be like, yeah, yeah. That's
well, it's funny with boys, like, and this is a more of like my weird redneck wolves that I've been raised by, is right. that with boys, my mom, we had weird conversations. You grow up in your house thinking it's normal until you leave your house and talk to other people,
yeah.
and then you find out your childhood was not normal.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if anybody really does have a normal childhood anymore.
No, I think that's right.
But, or if the abnormal is normal. And but anyway, my family would have very, I don't know, casual conversations about sex. Like,
wow.
it would just happen at the dinner table. You know, my sister, when she was of age, would, you know, could talk about, oh, I had sex or whatever.
And no way, that's
I
amazing.
Announced it because I grew up in that. I was the youngest of the kids. I have a stepbrother and a stepsister, and I was 10 years younger than my brother or whatever. So it's like when I grew, I announced the day after I lost my virginity to my parents. Like, I was like, I guess what happened to me last night.
That's hilarious.
And my dad was reading the paper and he goes and my mom was like, what? I go, I lost my virginity, I had sex. And my mom was like, what, where? I go, in the tent when we were at the lake, because it was like a family trip, whatever.
Right.
She's like, oh, my little boy is a man.
That's hilarious. That was like your bar mitzvah.
Kind of, yeah.
That's how it really should happen, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That would make bar mitzvahs way more cool.
Oh,
for
yeah.
the bar mitzvah-y. I don't know, mitzvah-y.
Exactly.
But,
yeah, yeah.
But so she gives me this hug, you know, and then she was like, oh, we'll have to celebrate and get a pizza.
No way.
I swear to God. It was great.
Oh,
and my
so
dad
funny.
Sits me down and he goes, well, son, now you need to sit down. He goes, if you're going to be sexually active, and I kind of feel like he's going to have like the birds and the bees talk.
Right.
But I was 16 and we already had like a lot of health classes about it at that
right.
point. You know, so
right.
I was like, and I was ready to stop him short. He goes, if you're going to be sexually active, you're going to need to understand how to please a woman.
That's so funny. So this reminds me of that Monty Python skit. It was like, oh, great. Come here, honey. We're going to show him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably just short of that because
yeah,
he was like,
you rub the clitoris. Pay attention.
Honey, sit still. And I'm vomiting in the corner. But no, and then he goes, now I can offer a few of my pointers, or if you'd feel more comfortable, there's a book on my desk called The Joy of Sex. That's where I learn. Go ahead and check it out.
Right next to The Joy of Cooking. Don't get them confused. You will hurt someone.
I'm very aroused with Julia Child. Oh, my.
That is pretty hot. That's good.
So that's what I... So what got me onto that? I can't even remember.
Oh,
this is what it was.
They said it that way. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was great. So my sons, both of them, I want to say Jack, it was, yeah, 6-7 months is when they kind of discover they're downstairs. And what they do is every time you change the diaper, they reach down there and they give it a little bling-a-bling-a-bling-a-bling-a-bling-a, you know, like that.
Yeah, I used to play it like a guitar. My mom would be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'll show you. And look at me now, Mom. Yeah, it's like...
It's funny because Johnny plays the guitar.
I do play the guitar, yeah.
Very well, I might
but
add.
Oh, thank you. But I wish I were playing my penis.
I don't know, right?
Yeah.
That's what I would imagine if I could play the guitar. But anyway, so they sit there, and what's funny is that this is where it comes from my upbringing, is that I always stop. Like, I stop whatever I got to do to change their diaper just to let them have that little moment.
Yeah,
I don't look at him in the face. I just kind of go, all right,
right,
well. I just kind of look at the peripheral
all
when
right.
he's done, and then
yeah, it's like when a dog takes a dump, you know, you don't really look him in the face.
Yeah, you just let him have his time.
Do it, and we're back, yeah.
I always feel like sometimes, too, dogs look like they're trying to make it look like they're uncomfortable when they drop a deuce.
Oh,
like
they
when
are. Yeah, they look around, they're all nervous, they're shaking. It's very uncomfortable. Their back's bent.
I feel like there needs to be more, like, Metamucil in dog food or something to help these guys
out.
Or
they should pick another position to shit in.
Exactly.
You know? It just doesn't look comfortable.
Yeah, I never even, that would be fun to try. Just to try, like, a squatting, arched back type.
Right. I bet in Hollywood you could actually, like,
yeah, you
know,
could pull
make
that
money
off.
Being, like, a dog consultant.
All you gotta do
I'll help your dog shit better. His spine needs to be aligned. People make... Oh, man.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we got to wrap it up now.
Okay.
I think we're at that time. Yeah, this is good. I like this outdoor show. This is outdoor vibe.
It's fun.
So here's what we do. And I should have told you this before we turned on the microphones. But at the end of every show, because it gets kind of visceral, we complain and bitch and moan. Or you maybe you've heard this in the other episodes, is that we do like a moment of the week.
Okay.
So I'll go first just to give you time to think about it or whatever.
All right.
And we have this little intro that we play, and we'll do Moment of the Week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So my moment of the week with Jacob, it was a funny moment, but again, at the time, was not very funny. He said to me, he knocked over his milk, or I think his little brother knocked over the milk, and it was spilled, and he instantly said, "Good luck with that, Dad," and walked away, which is very, I know I say that,
yeah,
where
he
it's
must
like,
have heard you say
oh, yeah, of course, because it'll be like, I'll be like, he goes, "Dad, can I have a cookie?" And then I'll go, "No, you can't have a cookie. You have to eat lunch first." And then he'll go, "Ah," and I go, "Well, good luck with that," and I walk away. For him to throw it right back in my face was pretty fucking awesome.
That's
It was pretty. He goes, "Well, good luck with that," and then just walked away. And I wanted to be like, "Listen, you little shit, come here, clean up this milk." I'm like, "Ah, that's pretty funny."
So
I cleaned it up, and then this is also I'm kind of rehashing. We were on the road for Jack's birthday, but I was just remembering this recently. Is that I like both of my kids because I travel on the road for my job and stuff. Sometimes they'll be able to come with me when my wife comes if I'm doing like a California date.
Nice.
And what I like about coming, bringing my kids with me is I get to see them interact with a hotel where they can just kind of go wherever. One time when Jacob was young, he actually stood up underneath the bathroom sink where you don't really, like if they have just a countertop.
Yeah.
And he looked like a mechanic working on a car underneath there because you just see legs underneath and he's checking out the plumbing or whatever. Probably eating chewing gum that somebody stuck underneath there. But anyway, so Jack had the same thing where it had one of those cheap like sliding glass doors in the closet and it was in the middle and he was just crawling. I don't know why this was so amusing to me, but he was just crawling in laps. Like he would go in it, disappear, and you'd hear him in the hollow closet go, "Hey," and then he would crawl right back out, see himself in the mirror and go, "Hey," and then he just did that.
That's pretty much what we do in hotels,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
When you go there.
Yeah. Just play around and crawl around in the room, laughing at ourselves.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Those were mine. So now your turn.
All right, well, this is I guess sort of poignant. I was like you were saying, when I dress, I usually wear a t-shirt and old jeans. But the other day, I made this conscious decision because I looked at all these pictures when Eliza was born, and I looked like total shit, like a backwards baseball cap and unshaven. And so with this last baby, I was like, okay, I'm going to look good in these pictures. I shaved. Like when Amanda's going to labor, she's like, "Honey, can you count my?" I'm like, "I'm shaving. I'm finding a good shirt. I want to look good for my children and for the parents." Yeah. Like, he's a comedian. What does he do again?
So like, I'm going to look good. Professional schlub? Look
right
at him.
Look at this guy. And that would be right, too.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to look good. And I put on a shirt. And so since then, I've like tried,
made an
effort to just look a little bit better.
Yes.
Which is a lot. Like, yeah. You know, and so I was wearing my shirt that's starting to get old, but my nice shirt now. And I walked into Eliza's room and she goes, "Oh, Daddy, you look glamorous." And it's a word that she learned from our gay neighbor, who said that to her when she was wearing like a tutu. And so she's like, "Daddy, you look glamorous."
She does a snap.
Yeah, sort of. And it actually made me tear up. Like,
yeah,
I was
adorable.
Like, "Oh, well, you know what? I feel glamorous.
I
do, and I'm not ashamed to admit that." Well, thank you, honey.
Daddy's working really hard.
Yeah, you can tell that I'm trying to make a difference in my appearance.
You look at your wife and go, "It's so nice to be noticed."
Exactly. So she totally has me played.
Oh, that's the best. Yeah. Damn it, your daughter's adorable. That is crazy. Well, that was our show. You could give us a call, 408-228-4911, to use the rant line if you got anything you want to get off your chest, or you could send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. I'm going to be in Huntington Beach on July 20th and 21st, and then at Flappers in Claremont on the 27th, 28th, Flappers in Burbank on the 3rd and the 4th. Daddy's got a lot of home shows, but you can find all those at justincomedy.com. For Johnny, you could go to johnnywalkercomedy.com. I apologize.
Or go to johnnywalker.com
and get some booze.
Yeah. That damn company, I don't know who they think they are.
Those sons of bitches.
Yeah.
2 centuries. Whatever. Fuck you.
Exactly. Keep walking.
I'm trying to feed my kids here, assholes.
I'm not changing my name.
You can find it at facebook.com/Johnny Walker Comedy. Get the spelling from the title of the episode. I'll also throw up some links at thedadpodcast.com. If you're going to be picking up something from Amazon, please click through our website, thedadpodcast.com. They give us a little money every time you do it, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Thank you so much for being
so much
on the show,
for coming
Johnny.
Over
this
here,
was
man.
Great. I really had the time of my life. So on behalf of my good friend, Johnny Walker, this is Justin Worship saying, stay frosty.